10. Thursday, Thursday.
Welcome to the Thursday, Thursday celebration. Programme of events. 9 o'clock, hammer throwing for the over 60s only. Meet up at the Marooner's Rock with your own hammer or somebody else's. Hard hats essential for spectators. 10:30, how many gulls' eggs can you eat in 1 minute? Baggy Bum the Beer Belly is the defending champion in this hotly contested competition. 11:30, ugliest baby contest. 12:30, axe fighting display. Admire the delicate art of fighting with axes. 2 o'clock, young hero's final initiation contest. Watch tomorrow's Viking heroes as they compete. Whose dragon will be the most obedient and whose will catch the most fish? Blood, teeth, loud yelling, this sport has everything. 3:30, grand raffle and closing ceremony.
The Thursday Thursday celebrations were a truly spectacular occasion. The Hairy Hooligans' fierce rivals, the Meatheads, from the nearby Meathead Islands, sailed across the inner ocean to the Isle of Berk for this great gathering. The visitors set up camp in Blackheart Bay, which turned overnight from an empty desert of echoing seagulls into a bustling village of tents made out of sails, too patched to be used at sea anymore. By the next morning, the long beach was packed with stalls and jugglers and fortune tellers. There was a happy confusion of Vikings spotting old friends and practicing their sword play and yelling at the children to stop hitting each other. Right now, for Thor's sake. No, I really mean it this time. Or else. Vast Viking men sat on uncomfortable rocks, guffawing loudly like gigantic sea lions in a holiday mood. Impressively large Viking women huddled in groups, cackling like seagulls and downing whole mugs of tea in one swallow. Despite old Wrinkley's gloomy forecasts of terrible storms and typhoons, it was a gloriously hot June day, with not even a hint of a cloud in the offing. The young hero's final initiation test would not start until 2 p.m. that afternoon, so Hiccup spent the morning listening round-eyed to storytellers telling tall tales of dirty Danes and pirate princesses. He was sick with nerves, so found it difficult to enjoy the occasion as much as he had done in previous years. Even Gobber throwing up during the How Many Gulls' Eggs Can You Eat in 1 Minute competition failed to raise more than a faint smile on his pale, tense face. Hiccup's family had a picnic lunch overlooking the axe-fighting display. Hiccup could not eat a thing, and nor, unusually, could Toothless, who was in a difficult mood and turned his nose up at the tuna sandwich Valhalla Rama offered.
"Got to keep your dragon's appetite sharp for the game," boomed Stoic the Vast, who was in an excellent mood. He had won a bet on Goggletoad in the ugliest baby contest and was looking forward to seeing his son's brilliant display during the initiation test.
As the day wore on, a hot wind suddenly started blowing out of nowhere. It was still sweltering, but ominous grey clouds were gathering on the horizon. There was the odd rumble of thunder in the air. Maybe old Wrinkley had been right, thought Hiccup as he gazed upwards, and Thor was going to put in his traditional appearance at the Thursday Thursday celebrations.
Plarp! Will all youths hoping to be initiated into the tribes this year please make their way to the ground at the left of the beach?
Hiccup gulped, nudged Toothless, and stood up. This was it. Hiccup was one of the last to get to the ground, which was a large area of wet sand just at the edge of the sea. The boys from his own tribe were already assembled, their dragons hovering a couple of feet above them. Everybody was chattering excitedly, and even Snotlout was looking nervous. The Meathead boys and their dragons seemed to be gigantic, rough-looking customers, far tougher than the Hooligans. One in particular was a great, hulking brute of a boy who looked 15 at least. Hiccup presumed he was Thuggery, Chief Mogadon the Meathead's son, because a silver-grey, monstrous nightmare about 3 feet tall was perched on one of his shoulders. It was looking at Fireworm, like a Rottweiler thinking evil thoughts. Fireworm acted unconcerned. "An aristocrat never growls," purred Fireworm sweetly. "You must be one of those mongrel nightmares. We pure Greenbloods descended from the great Ripperclaw himself would never dream of doing anything so common. The Silver Nightmare's growling increased in volume. The crowd was assembling at the touchline. Hiccup tried not to notice Stoic the Vast blasting his way to the front with great cries of,
"Out of my way, I'm a chief! 10-1, my son catches more fish than your son in this test!" boomed Stoic, giving his old enemy Mogadon the Meathead a good prod in the stomach.
Mogadon the Meathead narrowed his eyes and wondered whether to hit him. Maybe after the test.
"And which," asked Mogadon the Meathead, "is your son? Is he the tall one who looks like a pig with the skeleton tattoos and the red monstrous nightmare?" "Nope," said Stoic happily. "That's my brother Baggybum's son. My son is that skinny one over there with the toothless daydream."
Mogadon the Meathead broke into a big smile. He slapped Stoic on the back and yelled,
"I take your bet and double it." "Done,"
shouted Stoic, and the two great chieftains shook hands and bumped bellies on the bet. Gobber the Belch was in charge of this final stage of the initiation test. He was still looking a bit green from his unpleasant experience in the How Many Gulls' Eggs Can You Eat in 1 Minute competition. This had not improved his temper.
"All right, you horrible lot!" yelled Gobber. "This is where we find out if you are the stuff that heroes are made of. You will either walk out of this arena full members of the noble tribes of hairy hooligans and merciless meatheads, or go into miserable exile forever from the Inner Isles. Let's see which it's going to be, shall we?"
He grinned nastily at the 20 boys standing before him.
"I shall begin by inspecting you and your animals, as if you were warriors about to go into battle. I shall introduce you to the watching members of the tribes you hope to enter. Then the test will begin. You will demonstrate how you have asserted yourselves over these wild creatures and tamed them by the sheer force of your heroic personalities. You will start by performing the basic commands of go, stay and fetch. You will end by ordering your reptile to hunt fish for you as your forefathers have done before you."
Hiccup swallowed nervously.
"The boy and dragon who most impressed the judge, and that is me," Gobber bared his teeth grimly, "will receive the extra glory of being called the hero of heroes and most promising dragon. The boys and dragons who fail this test will say farewell to their families forever and leave the tribe to go where we do not care."
Gobber paused. "Poetry," muttered Fishlegs, just loud enough for Gobber to hear. Gobber glared at him.
"Heroes or exiles!" yelled Gobber the Belch.
"Heroes or exiles!" yelled 18 boys fanatically back at him. "Heroes or exiles!" yelled the watching hooligan and meathead tribes.
"Please, let me be a bit of a hero just this once," Hiccup and Fishlegs each thought to themselves. "Nothing too spectacular or anything, just to get through this test."
"Stand to attention with your dragons on your right arms," yelled Gobber the Belch.
Gobber walked down the row of boys for the inspection.
"Beautiful turnout,"
Gobber congratulated Thuggery the Meathead on his nightmare dragon killer, who spread out his shining wings to show off a wingspan of about 4 foot. Gobber stopped abruptly when he got to Hiccup.
"And what in the name of Woden,"
demanded Gobber, blanching a little,
"is this?"
"It's a toothless daydream, sir," muttered Hiccup.
"Small but vicious," added Fishlegs helpfully.
"Toothless daydream?" blustered Gobber. "That's the smallest commoner gardener I have ever seen. What do you think I am, an idiot?"
"No, no, sir," murmured Fishlegs reassuringly. "Just a little on the slow side."
Gobber glowered dangerously. "A toothless daydream," explained Hiccup, "looks exactly like a commoner garden, except for the characteristic wart on the end of its nose."
"Silence!" said Gobber in a very loud whisper, "or I shall throw you all the way to the mainland. I hope," he continued, "that this dragon hunts better than it looks. You and your fishy friend here are the worst candidates for initiation I have ever had the displeasure of teaching."
"But you are the future of this tribe, Hiccup, and if you shame us in front of the meatheads, I
personally will never forgive you, do you understand?
Hiccup nodded. Each boy then stepped forward to bow and hold up his dragon for the spectators to applaud.
There was huge clapping for Snotface Snotlout and his dragon Fireworm, only rivalled by the mighty cheering for Thuggery the Meathead and his dragon Killer.
I give you, last but not least,
Gobber the Belch was trying to put a bit of enthusiasm into his yelling,
the fearsome, the terrible, the only son of Stoic the Vast, Hiccup the Useful and his dragon Toothful.
Hiccup stepped forward and held up Toothless as high as he could to make him look a bit bigger. There was a slightly appalled silence. People had seen dragons this small before, of course, normally scampering about after field mice in the wild, but not as noble hunting dragons competing in initiation.
"Size isn't everything,"
boomed Stoic so loudly that you could have heard him several beaches away, and he banged his great hands together to start the applause. Everyone was terrified of Stoic's famous temper, so they joined in with polite, wild cheering. Toothless was still in a mood, but he was delighted to be the centre of attention, and he puffed out his chest and bowed solemnly to left and right. A few of the meatheads sniggered. "I've changed my mind," thought Hiccup, closing his eyes. "This is the worst moment of my life so far." "Okay, Toothless," he whispered into the little dragon's ear. "This is our big chance. Catch lots of fish here, and I will tell you more jokes than you have ever heard in your life, which will make that big red fireworm dragon really cross." Toothless took a sideways glance at Fireworm. She was sharpening her nails on Snotlout's helmet with the smug certainty of a dragon who knows she's about to win the prize for most promising dragon.
Porp!
The test began. Toothless didn't do too badly in the early obedience exercises, though he clearly thought it was extremely dull. It was now raining quite hard, and Toothless hated the rain. He wanted to go home and relax in front of a nice warm fire. Fireworm and Killer were going and fetching as soon as Snotlout and Thuggery commanded, and they were diving and breathing out fire as they did so, just to show off. Fireworm did some fancy acrobatic somersaults that had the crowd screaming and stamping their feet.
"Start your hunting!" yelled Gobber the Belch.
Every dragon, except Toothless, flew out to sea. Toothless flapped back to Hiccup's shoulder.
Toothless got a tummy ache," he complained.
Hiccup tried not to see his father looking surprised on the sidelines. He tried not to notice the crowd whispering to each other. "That's Stoic's son over there. No, not the tall one with the skeleton tattoos who looks like a pig. The small skinny one who can't even control his minuscule dragon." "Don't forget, Toothless," said Hiccup through gritted teeth, "the fish. I'm going to tell you all the jokes I've ever heard, remember?"
Tell me now," said Toothless.
Help came from an unexpected quarter. Snotlout broke off from yelling, "Kill, Fireworm, kill!" to lean over and sneer at Hiccup.
"What are you doing, Hiccup? You're not talking to that newt with wings, are you? Talking to dragons is against the rules and forbidden by order of Stoic the Vast, your soppy father."
Newt with wings?" repeated Toothless.
Newt with wings?"
"You're not a newt with wings, are you, Toothless?" said Hiccup. "You're the best hunter in the world, aren't you?"
"Too right I am," said Toothless grumpily. "You show that snot-faced Snotlout and his snobby dragon what a real hunting dragon can do," said Hiccup urgently. "Okay, then," said Toothless.
Hiccup heaved a huge sigh of relief as Toothless took off in shambolic fashion in the general direction of the sea. "This is too good to be true," Hiccup said to himself 10 minutes later as Toothless returned from a second trip, clearly too bored for words, but dropping a couple of herring at Hiccup's feet. "In about half an hour, I, Hiccup, will become a fully paid-up member of the Hairy Hooligan tribe." It was too good to be true. Fireworm was just flying back to Snotlout with her 20th fish, her green cat's eyes snapping with triumph, when Toothless called out,
Sloppy snob!
Fireworm stopped in mid-air, her head whipped round, her eyes narrowing.
"What did you say?"
hissed Fireworm. "Oh, no," said Hiccup. "No, Toothless, no, don't do it."
"Sloppy snub," jeered Toothless. "Is that the best you can do? It's pathetic, hopeless, useless. You nightmares think you're so cruel, but you're sloppy as scallops."
"You!" hissed Fireworm, her ears dangerously back as she crept forward through the air like a leopard about to spring. "Are a little liar."
"And you, said Toothless calmly, "are a rabbit-hearted, seaweed-brained, winkle-eating snob."
Fireworm went for him. Toothless streaked off as quick as lightning, and Fireworm's massive jaws snapped together with a sickening crunch on nothing but thin air. Chaos ensued. Fireworm completely lost control. She plunged wildly through the air, claws out, biting anything that moved and letting out great bursts of flame. Unfortunately, in the process, she accidentally scratched Killer, a dragon with a very short temper. Killer then attacked any hooligan dragon within biting distance. Soon the dragons were involved in a full-scale, rip-roaring dragon fight, with the boys running around shouting at them to stop and trying to pull them apart without getting killed themselves. The dragons took absolutely no notice whatsoever, however hard the boys yelled, and Thuggery and Snotlout were very red in the face after some pretty impressive yelling. Gobber the Belch went ballistic on the sidelines.
"Can somebody tell me what in Thor and Woden's name is happening?"
Toothless was in his element in this kind of chaos, dodging Fireworm's angry lunges with ease, nipping in with a lively bite at Alligator here and a scratch at Brightclaw there, obviously enjoying the fight enormously. Even Horror Cow showed a great deal of spirit for a dragon who was supposedly vegetarian. She managed to give Fireworm a truly impressive bite on the bottom as Fireworm and Killer rolled through the air, biting chunks out of one another. Gobber the Belch entered the fray, grabbing hold of Fireworm's tail. Fireworm gave a howl of outrage, squirmed round, and set Gobber's beard on fire. With one massive hand, Gobber swatted out the fire, and with the other he clamped Fireworm's jaws together so she could neither bite nor burn. He tucked the furiously enraged animal under one arm, still holding her mouth closed.
"Stop!"
screamed Gobber the Belch with a hair-raising, skin-crawling, fang-dropping yell that reverberated off the cliffs, bounced off the sea, and whose faint echoes could be heard on the mainland. The boys stopped their useless screaming. The dragons stopped in mid-air. There was an awful silence. Even the watching crowd went quiet. This had never happened before. All 20 boys had shown themselves to be completely out of control of their dragons during the initiation test. Technically, this meant that all of them should be thrown out of their tribes into exile. And exile in this horrid climate could mean death. Food was scarce, the sea was dangerous, and there were certain wild tribes in the Isles who were rumoured to be cannibals. Gobber the Belch stood, lost for words, his beard still smoking. When he eventually spoke, his voice was deep with the horror of the situation.
"I will have to speak with the elders of the tribes," was all he said.
He dropped Fireworm on the ground. She had come to her senses and now slunk towards Snotlout, her tail between her legs. The elders of the tribes were Mogadon and Stoic, Gobber himself, and a few more of the more fearsome warriors, such as Terrible Toughnut, the Vicious Twins, and the Hairy Scary Librarian from the Meathead Public Library. The crowd and the boys stood absolutely still as the elders consulted in the traditional elder huddle, which looked a bit like a rugby scrum. Meanwhile, the storm was getting worse. Huge claps of thunder burst over their heads, the rain poured down, and they couldn't have been much wetter if they had all jumped into the sea. The elders consulted for a long time. Mogadon got angry at one point and swung a fist at Toughnut. A twin held onto each of his arms until he calmed down again. Eventually, Stoic came out of the huddle and stood before the boys who were hanging their heads in shame, their dragons at their feet. If Hiccup had been able to look at his father,
he would have seen that Stoic was not his normal merry, violent self. He looked very solemn indeed.
"Novices of the tribes," he bellowed grimly, "this is a very bad day for all of you. You have failed the final test of the initiation program. By the fierce law of the Inner Isles, this means that you should be cast out from the tribes into exile forever. I do not want to do this, not only because my own son is among you, but also because it will mean that a whole generation of warriors is lost to the tribes. But we cannot ignore our law. Only the strong can belong. In case the blood of the tribes should be weakened, only heroes can be hooligans and meatheads."
Stoic jabbed a fat finger at the heavens.
"Furthermore," he carried on, "the god Thor is really very angry. This is not the moment to weaken our laws."
Thor let out a great crash of thunder as if to underline the point.
"Under normal circumstances," said Stoic, "the ceremony of exile would start now. But going to sea in weather like this would mean certain death for all concerned. As an act of mercy, I will allow you one more night of shelter under my roof, and first thing tomorrow morning, you will be set ashore on the mainland to fend for yourselves. From this moment forth, you are all banished and may not talk to any other member of your tribe."
The thunder crashed all around the boys as they stood, heads bowed in the rain.
"Pity me, for this is the saddest thing I have ever had to do, to banish my own son," said Stoic sadly.
The crowd murmured sympathetically, applauding the nobility of their leader.
"A chief cannot live like other people," said Stoic,
looking almost pleadingly at Hiccup.
"He has to decide what is for the good of the tribe."
Suddenly, Hiccup was very angry. "Well, don't expect me to pity you," said Hiccup. "What kind of father thinks his stupid laws are more important than his own son? And what kind of stupid tribe is this anyway that it can't just have ordinary people in it?" Stoic stood looking down at his son in surprise and shock for a moment. Then he turned round and trudged off. The tribes were already running off the beach and scrambling up the hillsides towards the shelter of the village, lightning coming down all around them.
"I'm going to kill you," hissed Snotlout at Hiccup, fireworm snarling menacingly from his shoulder. "First thing after we're banished, I'm going to kill you."
And he ran off after the others.
"I've lost my tooth,
Toothless complained, whinily.
"Came out when I bit that fireworm dragon."
Hiccup took no notice. He looked up at the heavens beside himself with fury as the wind scooped up seawater in handfuls and flung it straight into his face.
"Just once," yelled Hiccup. "Why couldn't you let me be a hero just once? I didn't want anything amazing, just to pass this stupid test so I could become a proper Viking like everybody else."
Thor's thunder boomed and crackled above him blackly.
"Okay, then," screamed Hiccup. "Hit me with your stupid lightning. Just do something to show you're thinking about me at all."
But there were to be no bolts of lightning for Hiccup. Thor clearly didn't think he was important enough for an answer. The storm moved on, out to sea.